This is 89.1 WEMU, and the challenge for Ann Arbor to meet its carbon neutrality goal of 2030 is a daunting task, and the effort is being approached from a variety of angles. Among them, enhancing what has already made Ann Arbor known as Tree Town. I'm David Fair, and welcome to this week's edition of Issues of the Environment. There is, of course, the 10,000 Tree Initiative, which empowers residents to plant more native trees that are provided for free, and there are some concentrate efforts to create more pocket forests and eco-islands. Are you familiar with those? Well, that's the focus of our conversation today, and our guest is Dr. Heather Chen-Yost. She is a volunteer with the Tree Town Urban Forest Team, and Heather, thank you so much for the time today. I appreciate it.
Thank you for inviting me, David.
I may have used a few terms there that are somewhat unfamiliar to many. How do you define a pocket forest?
Yeah, happy to explain. So what we consider a pocket forest is basically a collection of trees, shrubs, and other native plants planted close together, anywhere between 100 square feet to 2,000 square feet space. And the planting of these trees close together helps encourage them to grow a little faster and develop essentially a small little forest that's going to be placed in a variety of different places, such as a park, open lot, or open ground, someone's backyard. But it's a way to speed up the development of a forest where there was none prior.
And in doing so, is an eco island an extension of that definition?
Yes. So a pocket forest, as I mentioned, requires a decent amount of space. We have a pocket forest that our group planted that was about 100 square feet, but not everyone may have that capacity, but still want to maybe have sort of a small little forest. So what we're calling Eco Islands honors that pocket forest ideology by encouraging people to plant several trees, shrubs, and other native plants, but in a smaller scale. That's what we call an eco island. And that way, people who are interested in growing more trees in their yards, but maybe don't have the space, can still participate. So instead of like a large forest, it would be maybe two or three trees, two or three shrubs, and some other native plants. And that would be a little island where trees can grow and develop and mature.
It's a fascinating concept, and the practice of pocket forests originated back in the 1970s. I certainly wasn't aware of it until just a few years back. Mm-hmm. It was introduced by Japanese botanist and ecology expert Akira Miyawaki, and across the world, many people refer to development of these pocket forests as the Miyawaki method. Is that the methodology being applied to the work your team is doing?
Yeah, so we it's not like, I think, as faithful, I guess, to maybe his method, but I think it is adapted from those principles. I also wasn't aware of this until a few years ago when I started volunteering with the initial, I guess, iteration of this group, which was part of the Ann Arbor chapter, the Citizens Climate Lobby, and the head of our group, which is the Tree Town Urban Forest Team, Barbara Lucas, she introduced the term to me, and I thought it was like, really fascinating. And just to see that like many other communities have also taken those principles and applied them to try to develop their own pocket forest, so that way we can rapidly grow trees in areas where there weren't any previously.
I know there are pocket forests that were put up in Burr Park and County Farm. Will novices mm-hmm. like me be able to discern where those pocket forests are, or does it just kind of blend in with what already exists?
So the one in Burr Park in particular, it is an area where there used to be just grass, and we've actually fenced it off. So if you're walking along Burr Park, you may come across an area like a square that's been fenced off where there's a lot of grass around, but then there's these baby little trees that are growing. So you'll be able to identify it. We have some information when you walk by to either scan your QR code to read about the forest or basically just understand what's going on with the little patch of, you know, shrubs and little stumpy trees in that park.
And when we have these small pockets of native plants put in these kinds of areas, in the longer term, how do we benefit the urban canopy in Ann Arbor?
In the longer term, having more trees is beneficial in a lot of different ways. one of the main things that it does is to sequester carbon. So having trees and shrubs and native plants help, especially trees, help sequester carbon. As you know, today's a rainy day, and it's been very rainy the past few weeks. Trees and other plants can help with absorbing stormwater. With the stormwater runoff, sometimes there are harmful minerals or compounds, and so the trees and other plants could help absorb them so they don't get run off into our natural streams and rivers and other waterways. Having more trees, helps the Ann Arbor initiative to plant more trees in Ann Arbor in general. It provides shade, and then especially native plants, that helps encourage fostering habitats for like insects, birds, and other animals. I think especially for insects, since they often are, I think, hurt by plants that are not necessarily native. So they putting more native plants. Not only are you providing, you know, home and food for these insects, but then you, with these insects, you provide food for other animals. So yeah, there's just like many reasons why having more trees, and especially native trees, is important for us to have.
WEMU's Issues of the Environment conversation continues with Dr. Heather Chen-Yost from the Tree Town Urban Forest Team. You've mentioned that it can help with stormwater runoff, soil quality. Can the native plants and trees and shrubs also help overtake some non-native species that are often ecologically harmful, as you pointed out?
Yes. One thing that needs to be considered when you are planting these pocket forests or eco islands is that weeding still needs to be done for these non-native plants. And I think over time, and that is to just encourage growth of these native plants. And then over time, these native plants will overtake non-natives in the area. I think you still need to address the non-natives in areas where there are no pocket forests or eco islands. Whether it's like a bush that maybe is not native, maybe remove that and then replace it with an eco island. You know, it may be great to sequester an area to remove non-natives, but there still needs to be work done in like the areas where there is no pocket forest or eco island.
Speaking of pockets, we all like to know how any particular issue or action may impact our wallets. Are there potential financial benefits to community or individual with Paco forests and eco islands?
Yeah, so one benefit is that with planting these forests and trees, like there is some upfront cost with both replacing the lawn, getting the plants in, and watering them. But then over time, as these trees, shrubs, and plants mature, they do require less water than non-native, especially if you are replacing grass. Grass is very intensive, both like it needs a lot of water. Some people like a really green lawn, and so that requires a lot of fertilizer or any other resources. So planting encourages both biodiversity, but also you do save money in the long term, since you don't have to water as much, you maybe don't need to fertilize as much, and also your time too, you don't need to put as much time into it after the first few years.
The Tree Town Urban Forest Team was formed, as you mentioned, through a collaboration of the Wild Ones in Ann Arbor and the Ann Arbor Chapter of the Citizens Climate Lobby, and I would like to mention that it has been recognized by the Washtenaw Conservation District as the 2025 Tree Conservationist of the Year. Congratulations on that honor, first of all.
Thank you.
And in doing so, it took particular note of your advocacy efforts and educational programming efforts. How far do you plan to take the program and advance it the rest of this year?
Yeah, so I think we've got a couple of things that we're thinking of doing. I think currently right now we are making a push to get the word out about eco islands, just because it is more feasible for the average person. We're also promoting education with other ways to protect trees. So another one of our initiatives is to encourage trunk protection. We've noticed that there are several trees that were planted by the city of Ann Arbor that may have had weed whip damage. So we are encouraging them to protect more of these trees. We're also launching a few other initiatives that may help protect trees that are may not require putting a bit of metal or plastic around trees, such as the eco edge or eco fringe. So these are terms that we've sort of made up. But basically, the concept is to leave a little area around the trees where you don't mow, and maybe you plant other shrubs or native plants in there. And then that way, since you're not mowing the area, you have less of a risk of weed whipping the tree, which can essentially damage and then eventually kill the tree. So I think primarily our focus is on promoting those concepts to the greater Ann Arbor area.
I, for one, can say I feel a lot more educated after talking with you. I thank you so much for the time and the conversation today.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you for having us again.
And that is Dr. Heather Chenyo. She is a volunteer with the Treetown Urban Forest Team and has been our guest on issues of the environment. If you'd like more information on our topic today, simply stop by our website at WEMU.org. Issues of the Environment is produced in partnership with the Office of the Washtenaw County Water Resources Commissioner. You hear it every Wednesday. I'm David Fair, and this is your community NPR station, 89.1 WEMU, Ypsilanti.